In this circumstance, I was kind of told that I had this message to give this week a little bit ahead of schedule, so I kind of felt a little unprepared to start with. And as I was thinking about it, I was going to read something else, but then I had a few thoughts come to mind early either Friday or Saturday morning, and I wrote those notes down, and I was getting ready to put something together for it, but I kind of felt pressured to come up with something, and then I ended up napping and procrastinating, and I kind of felt, well, if I'm already pressured for time, I may as well just continue in that and see what happens. And so Friday night, I wanted to go out witnessing for some of the brothers. Car got locked, and I thought it would be a good idea if I could get some inspiration outside of just sitting down and thinking about things, especially if my thoughts were kind of scattered and not really together anyway. So went out Friday, and I kind of feel like I got some direction, and not necessarily in what we were doing, but maybe in a discussion that we were having afterwards when we were coming home. And it was something that Daniel said about he made a comparison to King David, or like the Israelites having to go out to war to conquer and then come back and have to reiterate their successes or their failures, and how that probably would have been like a grand re-entry, like everybody would have been excited to see their soldiers, their warriors coming back in victory. And I kind of thought about the same way as we would kind of maybe interpret our warfare on this earth, and how easy it is to be put on alarm if there's something physical happening right in front of us. Like you always hear about people that are really like supporting of guns and like defending themselves and things like that, to be very very precautious, and like they build up this thought in their mind that they're preparing for this inevitable bad thing to occur. And I thought I was trying to use the representation of what Daniel was saying in this like grand reentry of the victory. I said, well, what about the battle? You know, and normal warfare battle is very extreme, and like, you know, we don't really experience, you know, live ammunition and grenades and swords and shields and people bleeding all over the place, and but it's this quiet, silent battle that can either make or break a person and their lives. And I kind of thought of a couple of things. There was something also that Darren was talking to me about, and he said he was trying to share what was on his heart one night about how he said, man, like what if we went to Springfield one night and we just shouted, you know, at the top of our lungs, like, repent, like, repent and like get people's attention. And then he looked at me and he said, do you think that would work? And I was like, you know what I think? He's like, what's that? And I said, I think you watched way too much television. And I guess what I mean by that is most people modern day are probably not going to be able to rationalize something so extremely dramatic like that and be able to connect it with their lives. Maybe some would. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I guess I would compare it to, like, I thought about, you know, maybe in this example, if you're talking about warfare, like a city like Babylon the Great is being depicted as burning, and then I get the picture of somebody, or like maybe a group of small groups of people being on the offshores of this grand city, and they're watching the devastation and the burning and all of these casualties and these extreme events taking place. And just the look of horror that I could gather that somebody might have on their face about such a situation. But the way things are right now, because we technically live in an era of peace, it kind of made me think of like the example of the frog that's being boiled alive as temperatures slowly rise, and most people that, whether they be Christian or not, are probably not going to be able to really acknowledge such an extreme thing unless it's a physical connection. I mean, it would probably be pretty severe if we saw somebody like right out here get gunned down, or that would probably shock quite a lot of people. So I'd say extremes reveal things to people. And in those extreme events, you might finally find people that are having ears to hear, eyes to see, the pride, the selfishness, the gluttony, whatever you want to call their sin, finally taking place in their minds, like, shouldn't I have had time to repent of these things? I should have listened. And I was thinking about what our battle looks like spiritually. And how fragile we are, how easily we get puffed up, and how quickly we can get put down by our grand enemy. And I kind of thought about the kind of where we start out as Christians, and this sort of this place of, you could say, place of duality, where it's like you're both very humbled by the experiences, but you're also like you're finding this newfound representation of life, and it's grand, it's amazing, like your glory in the Lord starts to be revealed, and then some of that you find your pride, and you try to hasten to do very extreme things, or maybe you're building up to that. You're being challenged in all kinds of ways. And I would say the same goes for having to control our emotions from day-to-day life. And and all the challenges that we face, even in small things. And I kind of thought about myself, and I said, well, I was trying to make a list of things that I would find maybe normally stressful, but maybe in time and repetition, and maybe that's the reason why the walk has to continue, that we get these challenges in our life and they repeat over and over and over again, so that we can be prepared for when they arise again. And there might be new challenges that we face. So for myself, I kind of thought about like okay, so being able to get up every day and face another day of work, and not just face another day of work, but having the right attitude while facing another day of work. You could say raising children can be stressful. Learning to adapt to problems day to day, being able to keep a level head through it all. The day-to-day delegations, deciding what must be done from experience to experience. And I said emotional control. Stress is a level of pressure, and emotions are necessary but have to be controlled from day to day, moment to moment. Responsibilities to people around you, like if you also have to consider, let's say you have your own pressures and stress in your life, but then also to have to bear the pains and the losses of the people around you, and the things that they struggle with and the things they suffer with, can be extra stress, extra pressure. It feels like, well, if you consider others in your day-to-day life, you feel their pain or their suffering, their loss. And I kind of thought about some examples of, let's see. The things that we're challenged with from day to day do train us and teach us. They don't. Maybe in the mundane we don't really think about learning a whole lot from them, but it's in those moments that we reflect on things that we kind of can start to see things that we did right, things that we did wrong. Sometimes it takes other people to tell us what we did wrong, whether we receive it right away or not. It's not really something that we probably fully grasp at the time. And I kind of thought about, it just so happened this morning that I came across a video from Finney Kuravilla that was talking about spiritual warfare. I just so happened, I listened to a little bit of it, but he was talking about Peter as a prime example of somebody who had the potential to do great and terrible things, and we all probably remember the verse that talks about Jesus telling Peter that the devil is looking to sift you like wheat, and that's kind of why I wanted to, I suppose this morning, remind everybody to be on alert, to be aware that even in the small things that we find challenging in our lives are not small. There's always something to be learned. Every step that we take in action has there's something to profit from and something to lose from. So I wanted to read chapter 6 in Ephesians, if everybody would like to follow along, both for the up-and-coming children and for adults to remember. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Not by way of eye service, as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them, and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming, if I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you, and I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to you, brethren, and love with faith. I'm from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. There was something that Finney was mentioning, I think, this morning in his video, and it was talking about the level to which we decide to persevere in loving one another has the great ability to war against our enemy, to put strongholds in front of him, to keep him at bay. If we can consider each other higher than ourselves, if we can overcome our frailties, our weaknesses, and thinking about what we need to do in our day-to-day life, then we might be able to conquer and gain victory in this war. So God bless everybody. Glad to see everybody. You're welcome to make comments or corrections.
I just had a quick thought on the, you mentioned something about the preaching in Springfield, and I just had a quick thought that came to mind. I heard a quote by, I think it's attributed to Charles Finney. He talked about the living, like the Word of God being living, and the conscience of man that God has put into every man. And he said that he likens those unto two millstones. The one millstone is the Word of God, and the other millstone is the written word inside of a man's heart. And I guess, and a man's conscience is like the wheat or the corn that gets put in there. And he was saying how when we preach the Word of God, it resonates in the heart of man what God has already put in there, that that word is true, and that there's a response for man either to be convicted or reject that. And I think, you know, although it's not, I don't know if we can say it's scriptural or not, I think it's an interesting analogy of how when we preach the Word of God, regardless of a man's spiritual status, there's either an anger that rises up, oftentimes there's an anger that rises up in that, or a conviction that rises up in that, no matter how far society has gotten from God, I think that God has put it into every heart of man, that, and that we can rest assured that the methods that he put in place, like preaching and proclaiming the gospel, or and the teachings of the Lord and the apostles, are not outdated at all, and so they will be, you know, useful and valid until the Lord comes, you know.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. I appreciated the idea of something like catering to your audience, putting your heart into things, really trying to reach people, really trying to be a help. Seems like in the way past, I would have been led by people that would have been, you know, just kind of heartlessly saying true things, you know, which might be like standing up screaming repent. It's just not necessarily going to be effective. I just really appreciate the idea that we should be intentionally trying to figure out how we can be the most effective, whether it's with out witnessing, or whether it's dealing with spouses, children, whatever. Spiritual warfare. So in warfare, you don't just run around with your sword. I don't know about warfare, but there's strategizing involved. You know, maybe you need to wait for reinforcements. Maybe there's a prime time when you know that it's the best time to attack the enemy, or maybe you'd say let's leave that for now and deal with this other thing. Like the point being, like reminds me of the master who said, don't pull the tares. Like, tares are bad, obviously. Tares shouldn't be there. But he's like, but right now leave them, because we're trying to win the overall war, and that's not gonna help the cause anyway. Just what? And I don't necessarily know the formula, but I appreciate the idea that. And I'm trying to exercise myself in this, like not just responding to everything, giving my opinion about everything, trying to attack everything, but stopping and thinking, like what's going to be the most effective way to help somebody. And often it's not addressing something immediately, being quiet, or
it might not just be an immediate full-blown attack. It might be something else. Anyway, I just really appreciate the idea that because it's warfare, we need to be really considering the effectiveness of.
Thank you, Brother Robert, and the comments from Robert and Buddy, and in physical war, right? We have a war going on today, maybe in the Ukraine, right? Just imagine that we're soldiers in the Ukraine, and all of a sudden, Daniel's a soldier with me, and he yells out, "Somebody just got shot!" I mean, it's a war. It's a war. You're going to have hundreds or thousands killed. And so we have to transfer that in the spiritual realm. But imagine someone in warfare with a uniform and rifle just shouting, "Somebody got shot, Leroy!" And they're going to panic and go AWOL and run away or something. It's a warfare. But anyway, a couple of my own comments that spiritual warfare. You mentioned David. You know, David and Solomon. And what's the middle one? Saul. Saul, David, and Solomon. And they all started out humble, right? One was hiding behind the baggage. David was a little shepherd boy. And Solomon, "Hey, I'm just a young squirt. I don't know how to talk in front of people." And they all, humble circumstances, and they rise up to pride. They all got proud. And they all had to be put down. Even David, with his senses. Saul was so proud, and Solomon was so proud, and David. And so that's a good point, that we have to be, humility is such a big thing, and I need it more than anybody. But boy, humility, yes. And then what Buddy alluded to, that repent, what Brother Darren said, scream to the top of your lungs, repent. Well, there are some people that know how to, I don't know what to say to it. I just say, Ray Comfort and Billy Graham, someone said it last week, they sandwich you. Well, it's good to be here in Missouri. You know, Missouri is a show-me state. It's good, and we have nice weather and nice crops. It's great. You Missourians are really great people. And then, has anyone ever told a lie? Has anyone ever lusted? Has anyone ever stealed anything? Conviction of sin. So you get, you know, good one, middle, and then the sandwich, you know. You need to repent, but they say it slow, and they'll play just as I am. And so you have chicken soup for the soul, coming down your tears. But the gospel really hasn't been preached at all. But that's the gimmick they use. Don't be deceived by that. There's no Sermon on the Mount. There's no separation from the world. There's no, remember all things I teach you. But yet they will teach, you know, I call it that type of gospel. And the last one would be, whether you're in prison or whether you're free or whatever, in all circumstances give thanks. 1 Thessalonians. In everything give thanks. Just say I was in a wheelchair. Say it's been in a wheelchair like Caleb. Just for one day, try that. Just one day in a wheelchair. Boy, that would be hard. How about blind for one day? Just put a blindfold on you for one day, going like that. Talk about our health. What would we be thinking then? Whether you're crippled or blind or paralyzed. We have so much to be thankful for in our physical bodies, and God is going to hold us accountable. Are we using it for the kingdom's sake every day? And so, thanks, Rob, for the admonitions. And let's remember, we're in a war. And in everything, give thanks. Adoption, forgiveness of sins, hope of eternal life. And if we make it in the next life, we'll be looking back at this life and saying, why didn't I do more? Why didn't I do more than I did? The Lord be magnified.
temple.